Welcome to Finneytown Local School District's official podcast, the only place to listen to the in-depth stories from our students, staff, and community members. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy the show. Welcome back, everyone, to the official podcast of the Finneytown Wildcats. We have a great show for you today. MK, I feel good about this one. How do you feel?
I feel great. We've got our illustrious Kyle Chambers from the science department. Kyle, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great. Excited to be here. Looking forward to a great show.
Yeah.
And Kyle has brought a guest into our school, Maggie Walsh. Maggie, how are you today?
Doing great. Excited to be here.
Thanks for joining us. So, Kyle, you know, we've met you before. You're a science teacher here, wrestling coach, one of our students' absolute favorite teachers here down in the science wing. But you
Whoa, let's not get him too pumped up, because then he's not going to be able to teach the rest of the day. He goes back in there like that. Come on now.
That's true. You're liked.
You're doing a good job.
You're liked.
Yeah, liked.
Okay. But inviting people into your classroom as guests certainly makes you even better as a teacher.
Absolutely.
And I know you invited Maggie in as part of your project based learning experience entry event. So, Maggie, you're inside Finneytown. Is this your first time in our school?
I've come once before for a football game, but didn't actually get in the school. So I guess technically, yes, it's my first time inside.
So. All right. So first time here as a fan, second time here as a guest speaker for a class. So can you tell us a little bit about your story and why Kyle asked you to join him?
Yeah, so my background, I went to UC. Go Bearcats. graduated there from the DAP program with a major in graphic design. While I was there, I got the chance to internship at a couple different agencies downtown, working with some bigger brands like P&G, Nike, Kellogg's, things like that. And I also got to work with a lot of local businesses and nonprofits, which was really awesome. And now I work remotely as a creative manager for a software company in LA. So got a decent graphic design background. So Kyle asked me to come in and help out with the graphic design elements of the project that he's working on, which has been really cool.
All right, that is cool. How's LA doing right now after losing to the Padres? Was it the Padres?
I wouldn't know.
It was the Padres that beat the Dodgers, yes.
Yeah.
Big underdog upset. I was a fan.
Yeah, so when you return to LA, things might be a little dour.
Oh, I don't live in LA.
Oh.
I work remotely.
Oh, here I am thinking you're out there.
I was like, I know
Santa
the Bengals,
Monica.
I know the Bearcats, I know the Reds. That's all I know.
All right. Well, that's fun. Well, people on Zoom, maybe?
Yeah, okay. They know.
There
they know.
Go.
I have a lot of coworkers that are upset about that. So.
Yeah, me trying to rebound from that mistake there. So. All right, well, we start with rapid fire. So MK is going to throw some questions out there for you two to answer. Answer them as you wish, no order, whatever pops in there.
All right, here we go. Here's the first one. What is one food you wouldn't want to give up?
Tacos.
Chicken quesadillas.
That's very specific.
Yeah, recently that's
From
it.
From where?
Homemade. I'm making myself. Oh. High in protein, low carb, delicious.
Okay. What is something most people do easily, but you find very difficult?
Whistling.
I was going to say whistling.
Oh my gosh.
I can't whistle.
I cannot whistle to save my life.
At all.
Really?
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Yeah. You'd think as a coach I would learn, but I don't. I have no idea how to whistle.
No.
Huh. Well, okay. Well, we won't have a whistling contest.
No, here. We won't do that.
All right. Which appliance can you not live without?
Coffee pot. Easy. I have to have coffee every morning.
Ooh, I would say the stove. Does that count?
That's important.
Is that an appliance? Okay.
That's an important appliance to me.
What about you, MK?
Mine would probably be, honestly, probably the microwave, just because of my kids. Like, I'm always,
That's
like,
a good point.
Cooking stuff and then, like, putting in the freezer, and then I have to defrost it later. So if I didn't have that defrost feature on the microwave, I'd be in big trouble.
I've never used the defrost feature on a microwave.
Really?
Just put it in hot water.
What?
Naturally to thaw. Okay. I didn't even know you could do that.
How long does that take?
It takes.
Like, you sit around watching it?
Like, you know, 20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
So when you have to... Okay, never mind. I have a lot of questions.
Yeah, I do too.
We'll talk.
Yeah, we'll have to talk after this podcast.
A lot of respect for you there, Kyle.
All right, well... Kyle, you're here today. What's the story behind your PBL project?
So my PBL project, the main focus, what we're looking for is hopefully to design zoo displays for endangered and extinct animals. And so the goal is to really get the kids to understand ecosystems, how they all connect to every organism that's there, and what happens if one organism is pulled out, how the entire ecosystem is affected. And not only that, but that humans have a direct result, or we're causing mass extinction currently, and then also, but we also have the power to change that. So bald eagles were on the endangered species list. We made some policies that changed the way we act and chemicals we use, and now they've rebounded. They're no longer on the endangered species list. So the whole goal of this project is to get the kids to understand the way you live your life, what products you buy, and the policies affect the ecosystem where they live, and what they can do, how they can not only act themselves, but also get the community involved into making policy changes at the top, at the governmental level, that allow these animals to recover from being on the endangered list before they go extinct completely. A big example, a lot of students brought it up today. I don't know if anyone's seen the movie Rio. That bird just recently went extinct. They are gone forever. The movie Rio is the only way we can ever look at these birds again.
You're kidding me.
So that is, when I told the kids that, that seemed to really set in what's going on. So the project is to make the zoo designs, the displays that you read when you see animals. And that's why I brought Maggie in, so she can teach about good graphic design elements for these zoo displays. And then hopefully to send them to the zoo and even have the zoo set up a endangered / extinct design display where people can see these animals before they go extinct.
Oh, that's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, that is really cool. Okay, so you brought Maggie in not so much as an ecosystem expert or endangered species expert, but from a graphic design standpoint, which people typically don't think of graphic design pairing with a science class.
Mm-hmm.
You're flipping that.
Yeah.
And through project-based learning, you're giving kids an authentic experience. And so, Mike, entry event. Can you tell our listeners about the entry event again and what that looks like? And then, Maggie, I'll ask that you share what that was for you today with Kyle's students.
So project-based learning, it always is a good idea to give kids some context and to connect real-world experts with their classroom learning experience. And so for this particular project, like you mentioned, they're going to create these things that graphically need some expertise, right? And so you invite someone in from the outside, not in the school, that has skills that the students could really take and apply to their project. And that's why Maggie's here, is the graphic part of it. I don't know, was it Canva? Did you guys use Canva, or what were you going to use?
We will be using Canva. The students will be using that software to build their finals.
And there's tons of other things that you probably talked about today with them about your approach, and I'll let you dive into that. But the idea is for students to meet someone that has a career in graphic design that may actually spark their interest to become a graphic designer too, and they actually get to try some of those skills. So tell us about your experience today with those students then, Maggie.
Yeah, it's been really, really great. So the way I sort of structured the presentation was just giving a little bit of a background on graphic design, because it's one of those things that you kind of, everyone sort of has a different impression of what maybe graphic design is or what kind of outputs it has. Maybe they think of like, oh, you just design books or like magazines or posters or things like that. But there's really a whole world within graphic design. And one of the main purposes of graphic design is to solve problems. It's a way of communicating information in a way that's really engaging, very organized, easy to follow, understandable, and that hopefully sparks a change in action of some sort. Whether it's, you know, if you're designing packaging, you're influencing the person to buy the package. If you're, you know, designing a website, you're influencing the viewer to interact with the website and hopefully, you know, engage with, you know, buying a product or, you know, getting a demo if it's a sales software, things like that. So there's really a whole kind of thought process with graphic design that extends beyond just making things that look pretty and look nice. So my kind of goal with the presentation was just to show them, yes, the visual aspects of how to make the, you know, the visual part of it look good. But also, you know, we talked a little bit about color psychology and kind of the way that humans emotionally and subconsciously interact with color, and how you can use colors like red to indicate warning and danger about, you know, the species that's going extinct. Or you could use blue to kind of you know, draw reference to the ocean. If the animal you're talking about comes from the ocean or from the water, you could use green to kind of, you know, allude more subtly to the environment or to nature or plants or things like that. So there are a lot of ways that graphic design and those visuals can be a really great complement to the content that Kyle is talking about. And it really takes, you know, what would ordinarily be maybe a research paper or something really boring and kind of dull and makes it, you're laughing at me.
I love research papers, you know.
Well, they have a purpose for sure, but if you're trying to educate the general public about something, most people don't want to sit down, you know, stop what they're doing and sit down and read a paper or a boring black and white article. So it puts it in a really palatable and engaging format that will hopefully make people who wouldn't otherwise sit down and read about it want to interact with the final poster or sign.
Man, you know what?
Oh, that's cool.
It makes me want to connect with you for a project that Eric and I are doing for our quarterly, Funnytown Quarterly.
Oh, yeah. We might have to get you contracted as a consultant with us here soon.
I'll give you my number.
Okay. A little business deal here on the podcast.
That's kind of cool to hear for students to get that kind of perspective, because when you went through that, and, you know, Kyle and I have been planning this along the way here, I wouldn't even have thought about that red as a warning or the blue, the connect with the water or whatever you said. What was that? Like, I wouldn't even have thought of that. But you brought that to the students today.
That's been something that the students, I feel like, have been talking about the most. Like, Maggie's been asking, like, okay, what color, when you see red, what emotion do you feel? And the students have been able to, even before understanding what point she's going to make, they're like, oh, I feel like excited or energetic, or blue makes me sleepy. And then she talks about the psychology of each of those colors, and they can immediately see the connection. And it's cool as a teacher, even though I'm not the one talking, to see those connections being made right in front of me and right in front of my eyes. And so it's been awesome. I've learned a ton also. Like, I'm just sitting there, like, writing notes down, like, oh, that's so good.
Yeah,
it is cool to hear you talk about the thought behind graphic design, because, right, as someone like me, I'm just like, oh, they made that look really cool, but really there's an intent behind what you're doing that is to influence or to sell or, you know, any other goal in mind. So, like, to think about walking through the zoo and looking at, you know, because I've gone there and read those signs. I do read them because they're not research papers, Kyle. but to know that someone's actually thinking about how to make that sign have an impact on the person reading it beyond just the words is pretty cool to hear. And I know our students probably got a lot from you today.
Yeah.
What do you think of our students?
They're awesome. I love it. I have a newfound respect for teachers and just all that job entails. Just, I know, Kyle, you wrangling students and making sure that they're paying attention. And it's just hilarious. Like, I just love interacting with kids, and especially high schoolers. It's just, I remember being that age. I remember being in classes like this, and, like, you just have so much energy and, like, excitement about everything. And it's just really, like, it kind of makes you energized to be around them and just be interacting with them. So it's been a lot of fun and a lot of laughs. Too. They make so many jokes, and yeah, it's been really fun.
Oh, that's awesome, Maggie. So you talk about a newfound respect for teachers. I appreciate you saying that teachers do work extremely hard and, you know, put forth a lot of effort to make classes engaging and learning exciting for students. Kyle, you know, what year are you in with your teaching career?
This is my fourth year, all at Finneytown. Go Wildcats.
That's it?
That's it.
I feel like you've been here for 15 already. Four.
Yeah.
Well, all right. So in year four here, trying this project, obviously bringing Maggie in is an additional feature to the project. But what challenges have you discovered through this particular planning process?
Yeah. So luckily for me, Mike Kennedy and Mike Rosa have been meeting with me once or even two times a week this entire school year so far. Over the summer, I got to go to a PBL training conference, and it really sparked my desire. I did what I thought was a PBL project previously, and then going through that training, I was like, that wasn't PBL. Let's scrap that project and let's try again. Let's meet with these guys who know what they're doing. And it has been super beneficial to meet with those guys. And I just think all good teachers do elements of PBL. Mm-hmm. I think my biggest thing was realizing, like, oh, I do these things, but maybe I didn't realize how connected it was to PBL. So I think the biggest challenge was just fitting those pieces, understanding the whole puzzle, and where the pieces go, which Mike have helped me out a ton. Just realized that you guys have the same first name. That's amazing. Like really realizing it. Anyway, so putting all those pieces together, they've been super helpful. And just being able to break it down. So I think the biggest thing, the biggest challenge was their driving question that the whole project needs to kind of point back to that driving question. Like, okay, well, what's my driving question? They need to know ecology because the state tells me that they need to know that. But that's not fun. That's not fun for anybody. That's not fun for me. Like, as someone who loves the environment and wants to see it sustain so that we can continue to enjoy it, okay, what driving question would get these kids interacted, want them to care about the project while also learning? So I think that was the biggest challenge, really focusing on. I think we spent three of those meetings we met with really learning about a driving question, helping me make a good driving question. We went through four rough drafts until we got to the one.
Yeah, we did. It took a minute to tool it, but your driving question now is, we are researchers. Actually, that's the problem statement. How can we educate our community about endangered and extinct animals that leads to policy change that preserve ecosystems?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of cool, huh?
Well, I'm not a student in your class, but I'm already more engaged in that than the state telling us we have to learn this. So
absolutely.
I'm glad you reframed the standard into a driving question that motivates kids to impact their own community.
Yeah. And when talking about, so I go to the bald eagle, like already talked about it today, but like when talking to that story about the kids, you can kind of start to see like, oh, I can make that change. Like through information, through knowledge, I can change the outcome of another organism's lifespan. So changing, reframing it was super awesome. And hopefully the kids continue to be engaged after today.
Awesome.
So Kyle, I'm going to ask you this question. And then Maggie, I got a question for you to close this out. What commitment are you willing to make to your students throughout this PBL experience?
The commitment I'm willing to make is to be flexible. This is my first attempt at this project. So I don't even know all the ways. We've talked. I have a lot of things planned out. The way I want to go is set before us, but I also want to make sure that the kids get what they need. And so to be flexible, if that didn't connect the first time like I thought it would, let's be flexible. Let's change some deadlines. I want to be open to what the kids want to do. I'm bringing Maggie to talk about graphic design. I want to print out these signs, but if some kids have some alternate ideas, you know, like if a student wants to make a whole website that is about promoting an endangered animal and its recovery, like I want to be able to be flexible and like, yeah, if that's exciting for you, then let's do it. Let's make a website instead of a sign. So I want to be flexible to make sure that the students get the most out that they can.
I like that. It's cool. Thank you. Well, we're going to have you back on to talk about this. After we get, you know.
When we're all said and done.
Yeah, you know. I think that'd be cool. Maybe get some of your students on, too.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That'd be fun.
So be on the lookout. All right, Maggie, closing for you. What is one thing you're taking away from your experience today on the podcast?
Well, that's a good question. From being on the podcast, are you saying? Or like being
our conversation
just here in general?
Today. Or you can say from general, whatever it means to you.
Do I get a second to think?
Absolutely. We like the think time.
Mm-hmm. I think the few things I'm taking away is just realizing, again, like the impact that graphic design can have and like the relationship that you can build between a lot of different seemingly opposing things. I think I didn't even really consider that, or I hadn't considered that as heavily before you bringing me in, because I remember when you first talked to me and it was kind of like, you want me to come in for that project? Like, how does that really make sense? And I was like, what do you want me to talk about? And like all this stuff. And then like it started to just sort of all come together in my head, because I learned all this stuff in school. But once you kind of get out and you're in your career and you're just sort of in your lane, like you don't really think as much. I mean, I work in software, so it's like it's pretty straightforward. It's like, well, you need designers for this and that. But, you know, just going back to sort of my roots or what I learned in school about how graphic design really does impact the world around us. And you do use it to change things for the better. Like it does help, you know, make a difference and make an impact in causes that matter. It's not just about, you know, making money for software companies and stuff. So I think coming back to that purpose and just being reminded of, you know, the impact that you can have through design that's positive and that does make a difference in the world, I think that's been a good kind of takeaway from it.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been awesome.
Thanks for sharing that reflection. So it's exciting when we bring people in as experts into our classrooms to share their knowledge and wisdom and get to work with our students and even build relationships with our students. It certainly opens their eyes to the world of possibilities in a very variety of careers. So really cool that you partnered with Kyle. Even cooler that you agreed to come on the podcast. Thank you.
It's a first for me. It's been exciting.
There we go. Kyle Chambers, thank you for all you do for our students, being willing to take a risk, scrap an old project, do a new project, partner with Mike and Mike, working through the iterative process of developing a driving question. So appreciate you being here too.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I want to thank our listeners, MK. Big news here in the podcast world.
Big news.
Big news, Kyle. Hold on to your seat here. The Finneytown Wildcats official podcast. I love how you just grabbed your seat. That's awesome. The official podcast of the Finneytown Wildcats has officially had over 1,000 downloads.
Let's go, right? That's awesome.
We've arrived.
Over 1,000. Mike and I were trying to figure out, we have over a million listeners. That's at least what we tell ourselves, and only 1,000 downloads. So we're still working out that math. But thanks to our listeners for tuning in, hearing the stories of Finneytown. And if you would like to join us on the podcast, any of our listeners who have a story to share about Finneytown or their experiences in Finneytown, or even their kids' experiences here in our schools, reach out to me, Eric Muchmore, or my co-host, Mike Kennedy, and we can try to get that scheduled so we can share that story. And as always, tell your friends, tell your family, tell people at the grocery store, tell your pets. Finneytown has a podcast, and we have great stories to share and for you to hear. Thanks for listening, and until next time, take care.